Okay, we are doing Pei Dal Halacha Zayin. Okay, this is the last halacha of the first half of the siman. Okay, or what we call the first half of the siman, and which is previously a fruit that became infested with bugs. You don't know if the bugs came on when the fruit was attached to the ground or not attached to the ground. And that would be to say, as if it would be when it was attached to the ground, it would be usher. And it would be not attached to the ground, then it would be mutter, or it would be potentially mutter. So you're masupik. There's a bug in there. You see the bug that's in there. You just don't know whether the bug came on when it was attached to the ground or not attached to the ground. So the din is, it's usher, and the bug is, you're not allowed to eat that fruit. I say it's the end of the first half, because until this point, of the siman is talking about when you have a bug, just is the bug mutter usher. That was the first part of the siman. The rest of the siman is going to be about, not that I have a bug, but I suspect that there's a bug. I don't know that there's a bug, and what am I supposed to do if I'm not sure if there's a bug? This is the end of the halachas of things that where I have a bug in front of my eyes. Okay, so in this halacha, it talked about one suffix, and the suffix in this halacha was you don't know if the bug came on betolosh or b'mukhubra. That was this halacha. Halacha ches, which we're not seeing now, that's going to be next time. Halacha ches is about not that I don't know if it came on betolosh or b'mukhubra, a different suffix, which is I don't know if there's a bug altogether. I pick up a head of lettuce, and I don't know, is there a bug or not? Not that I see something. I just don't know if there's a bug or not. And the thing is, we're machron on both of those shadows. Both of those shadows are machron. Individually, okay, let me say that. We're machron on those shadows individually, but not simultaneously. That is to say, if I pick up a vegetable, and I see something on it, that I don't know if that bug came on when it was betolosh or b'mchubur, so the bug that I'm looking at, I don't know if that bug might be a mutter bug or an usher bug, that Aruddin said, you have to be machmir and say it came on b'mechubar, and it's awesome. The next halacha is going to say, if you have a vegetable, that you don't know if there's a bug inside of it. I pick up this head of lettuce, I don't know if there's bugs inside of it, but a me and hamatzri has bugs in it, there's a certain amount of bugs in this thing, then I have to be machmir and say that there is a bug in that vegetable, and I can't eat it as is. In other words, and you have to check it. That's fine, you have to check it. What happens if I have both? Okay, if I have both things at the same time, I don't know if I have an insect on there, and even if I would have an insect on there, I wouldn't know if it was betolosh or b'mechubar, then I could be mekel. Okay, so when I said lettuce, I should have been more clear. The bugs that are in lettuce are bugs that come on when they're attached to the ground. Those bugs don't come on in teds. Teds, I mean, I guess some bugs come in teds, but the bugs that I'm looking for, the typical bugs are bugs that come on betolish. The bugs that are there, if they're in there, they came on when the thing was attached to the ground. So in the lettuce, I have one suffix. Did the bugs come on? Are there bugs or are there no bugs? In the fruit that the Shulchan Aruch Shulchan Aruch case, I have a different suffix. I don't know if it was betolosh or b'mechubar. So each one of those, I'm achmer. What happens if I have both of them, then I'm mekel. And that's meduyik in the words of the Shulchan Aruch. In our case, it says, pri shehisliya, a pri that was infested. And you have one suffix. The next thing is, kol mini peri shedarkan lahasliya. It's the kind of fruits that typically become infested, meaning, but I don't have something crawling across that I have the shayla on that specific bug, but just a suffix, are there bugs or are there not bugs? Okay, and the way we would explain it is, there's two ways to say it. I would have said it is that if there's only one suffix, then it's a suffix derisa. I mean, I have a bug in front of me. It might be from a bug that came on betolosh or b'mechubar. That's a suffix derisa. If it's a bug, then it's also a derisa. I have a vegetable that may have a bug crawling around it. I don't know if there's a bug in there. Suffix derisa. If I have a vegetable that's only infested to me in hamatzri, I have in front of me a chiv d'rabbanon to check it. I have a suffix on that d'rabbanon. Excuse me, whether it came on betolosh or b'mechubar. Within the suffix, I have a suffix that I can be mekel, both the way the Taz says it. The Taz says something about raisins, which we talked about. The Taz says, it calls it a sekseka. Okay, however you want to call that question, whatever you want to call it, but if I have both styles together, then I can be mekel.
Can I be mekel also if, not if I have to meet a matzah, even if it's worth a meet a matzah, this is like a 50-50 possibility that this, the bug I slide is sekseka.
What's my sekseka?
Suffix is a bug, suffix is not a bug, okay?
And suffix if it's betolosh b'mechubar.
Yeah.
Potentially. So you can point to the Taz, even if it's common to be infested. I mean, yeah. Common meaning even more than Roy. Maybe it's still sex. Okay, I don't know.
Well, it's right, then maybe it's like a lot, I don't know.
So that the depends on the rules of Svek Seker. Can I make a Svek Seker even, let's say, 75% of the time it's there, am I still able to make a Svek Seker?
Yeah, I don't know, 50% of the time,
I don't know. Okay, so it's playing 50-50. So then according to Taz, the way he's saying, which is that it's Svek Seker, I could still say Svek Seker. So I think like this, and say, okay, that's fine, you could say that. Okay, now we there are those, we will maybe see next time in Halacha Ches, Aran who says that you should be mahrum even if they're both Svekers. But the Taz says, which is what we do, which is that if there's both Svekers, then we're going to be made. Okay, we talked about this, we mentioned this, we talked about reasons. Okay. This, that we say, that you should be mahrum if you don't know if it's Betalash or Mechobr, is basically it's a Gemara. Okay, it's almost a fair Gemara on Daflut Ches that says that if you don't know if the bug came on Betalash or Mechobr, you should be mahrum. That our Halacha Zayin is basically straight out of the Gemara. Okay, the crazy place he says that if we were making this diyun on the fruit, we would give the fruit a cheskes kashrus. When the fruit was created, it didn't have any bugs on it. The question is, did something get onto it? So if the shayla was a shayla on the fruit, we would say is, the bug came on later, meaning it came on betolush, meaning the bug is mutter. That's what we would say, if we were using the chazak of the fruit, we would say the fruit started with mutter. So the crazy place says, the fruit is kosher. There's nothing rush about the fruit. There's not chazak on the fruit. The shayla is on the bug. The bug doesn't have a chazak to it. There's no chazak. There's a chazak to the fruit. I'm allowed to eat the fruit. The question is, the fruit is harboring.
Remember when I was talking to someone about quail eggs, so that's the line too.
The fruit is harboring a bug, but it's harboring the bug. The bug, there's no chazak on the bug. Okay. Now, he says this. Now, there's a problem. Because we had a machlokes before him about whether a bug that's on a fruit that's attached to the ground has to crawl. Okay? So he's saying that the bug doesn't have a cheskes kashus. The bug does have a cheskes kashus. Because the bug, until it crawls the first time, according to the Mechaber, until the bug crawls the first time, the bug is mutter. So when the bug was born, the bug was mutter. So you have a question, is this a bug? So is this? It came up before. Yes. Yeah, so we have a question. Is this? I'm going to get back there in 1 second. We have a question on this bug. You said the fruit doesn't have a cheskes kashrus. Okay, because we don't care about the fruit cheskes kashrus. But the bug has a cheskes kashrus because the bug also started off as being mutter. So I have a question. Is this a bug that crawled with mechubur? That's the shayla. Did it come on the toes before? Well, even if it came on the mechubur, it has a cheskes kashrus that the bug never crawled with mechubur. Bugs don't have a chazaka of having crawled bim mechubur. That's all I know. That. Why don't I say cheskes kashrus? You say, I can't say cheskes kashrus.
There's no chazaka one way or the other.
There is, because when it was born, it wasn't crawling. When it was born, it was mutter. The first second it was born, it was mutter. So the crazy place...
Well, if the
Mechaber holds, the Mechaber held that if it's born bim mechubur, it still has to crawl. If it's born on a fruit, it depends where it's born, where on the ground it's born. So the crazy place he says, not like I'm saying. He says, that's not true. He says, bugs, as soon as the bug is born, it starts crawling. He says, as soon as they're born, they're crawling, so there's no cheskes kashrus. There's no cheskes kashrus.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that part of it we can handle. He says, as soon as it's born, they crawl right away. He says, so it's like, there's no such thing as a bug. Didn't have a time, so to speak, when it was born and not crawling. Okay, but he also wants to say that's, as his Hezbollah, we talked about this way back in Halacha Aleph, that it's not considered, insects are not considered osur mitchilas b'yosam, because as soon as they're born, they start crawling. Okay? Because there was a shayla, if you remember back then, why they should be considered barriers, either aren't osur mitchilas b'yosam, because the minute they're born, they were mutter, the first second they're born, they're mutter. He wants to say, they instantly are crawling, that they never had a second when they were mutter.
When they're born, are they
when they're born? We finished with that already. We don't know. Let's say yes. An ant, when it's born, it's nearly an ant. An ant is that, you know? Okay, now. Okay. To make Yossi feel more at home, the crazy place he says, this is an answer for why the Ramah says in Pei Aleph, a little bit to do with Yossi. If you have a shayla about an animal, when you have milk from a cow, and you want to know if it became a trefa earlier or later. Okay, we don't know. We have the milk. We don't, and the animal's now a trefa. Did the animal become a trefa earlier or later? We say the animal became a trefa later. Why? Because on the animal, it has the cheskes kashrus. It was born, not a trefa. It's assumed to have been born, not a trefa. So we say it has a cheskes kashrus, so the trefa is happened as late as possible. The fruit has no cheskes kashrus. the fruit has cheskes kashrus. The fruit's cheskes kashrus has no meaning to us, and therefore we can't say that the cheskes kashrus, and therefore the bug is mutter because it had a cheskes kashrus. Okay? Okay. The, we, now go on to some...
Isn't chazakat hasha what it is now is what it was before?
So usually in those choices, we go with the original chazakah first. The chazakah tells us it's always been like that until... It couldn't happen.
Okay.
And in our case, that's in the case of the cows is what to talk about. In the case of the bugs, which is where our really our case, there's no chazak of now. There's no chazak of now. We just have a thing in front of us.
May I push your line one?
Okay. The our case was talking about, we weren't sure whether it was betolosh or b'mechubar. Okay? The Taz talked about raisins, that the bugs usually come on betolosh. Okay? That's the raisins, which is in fact, that's the truth. They come on betolosh. So, Just as a, we're going to talk about something, but just as a, what I'm about to say is theory. I have no basis for what I'm saying, but just this is a theory. Why is it that if you look at a chart that tells you which things to check for bugs and not to check for bugs, okay, why are there more bugs on vegetables than there are on fruits? Okay, so I'm saying this, my theory, to lead into what the next thing we're going to talk about, which is, and that's what the and it'll help us understand the Taz. And the reason is because my theory is that there are two reasons. One is, fruits tend to be solid. Okay, an apple is a full solid thing, different than a lettuce, which is this big open, the thing is very wide and open. There's lots of room for bugs to go hide in there. The fruit is solid. So, there are solid vegetables also. Cucumbers don't have bugs in them either. Cucumbers don't have bugs in them because they're also solid. From this perspective, they're like a fruit. There's no place for the bugs to hide in them. And the second is that fruits tend to grow high off the ground. Think of an orange tree, think of an apple tree, they're growing high off the ground, as opposed to vegetables tend to grow in the ground, so the fruits have more, less opportunity to find bugs in them, and therefore berries, which are sort of fruits, grow closer to the ground, they have more bugs, they have places to hide, and they have closer to the ground, they have more...
That's so
what?
They have wings, they can fly.
Okay, that's true. Okay, so now, so now a grape, help us understand the task, a grape doesn't get bugs in it because... There's no place for them to hide. They're hanging up on a vine. There's no place for the bug to hide anyhow. When you put the grape on the...
I would have thought a celery is no place for the bug to hide either, but you have these leaf grinders in it. Somehow, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, they find they're very creative. Okay. You don't have to agree with my theory. Okay, but when you take the grape and you put it on the floor, and now the grape, all the juice starts to ooze out of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's laying on the floor, and there's places where the bugs can get in. That's when they do become infested. So that's why raisins have bugs. The bugs in the raisins come in betolosh, not the mechubar, because the mechubar, there's no place for the bug to sit. There's no place to go. And when it's betolosh, then it has a place to it. That's why for the task. We're giving our own theories.
Yeah,
and this juice just attracts them. Okay, now. We have an exception to the rule. When we talk about what I came to tell you about was something that seems to be an exception to the rule. Okay? And that is something called a calamirna fig. Okay? The common figs that we eat, they're called calamirna figs. Okay? The center, the inside of that fruit, okay, the inside of a, in your mind, of a fig, okay, is not solid. It doesn't look like an apple. When you open up a fig, not a dry fig. I tried, it's the wrong season, but there are no fresh figs now. I wanted to bring them to show it to you. Fresh figs, they're not solid on the inside. Okay, they don't look like a solid fruit. They're all full of a million little things in there. Okay, and the reason is, and not only that, figs have another unusual feature, which is they have a hole in them. If they have a hole in them on the bottom, a fig is, you don't notice in a dry fig, but in a fresh fig, it's roundish on the bottom and comes to a point on the top. Okay, the pointy part is the part that's attached to the tree. Okay, the flat part on the bottom has a hole in it. Okay, why on earth is there a hole in the bottom of the fruit? Oranges don't have holes in them unless there's something wrong with it. Why is there a hole in the bottom of it? And the reason is because botanically, figs are not considered fruits. Okay, figs are not fruits. Figs are flowers. Figs are inverted flowers. Okay, think of a flower that instead of the pistils and stamens sticking outwards, instead the whole thing was flipped inside out. So what's on the inside of the fig is a million flowers, the pieces of a flower facing the inside, coated on the outside of the covering, but of course the flower is there for the to be pollinated. It can't be pollinated if there's no hole in it. So the Russian put a hole into the bottom of it so that it can be pollinated. It can't be pollinated if it would be closed up solid. It would be worthless. What would be the point of a flower that you can't get into? So the flower has been inverted. Okay, the flower has been turned back onto itself. And then there's a hole so that it can be pollinated. Okay, so botanically, they don't consider, we call it a fruit because it's something you pull off a tree and you eat it. Okay, that's what we call a fruit. But botanically, it's not considered a fruit. It's considered a flower. It's an inverted flower. It's an edible flower. Okay, that's botanically, it's considered an edible flower. Okay, and because of that, that's why there's a shot that there should be bugs in them. Because it's not a fruit. If you, oranges, you don't think of bugs on the inside. No, on the peels, we talked about it. But on the inside of the oranges, how would bugs get into there? What would bugs be doing inside of an orange? How would they get there? But in the inside of a fig, there's an opening. There's a big if you get a fresh fig, you can even see it in a dried fig a little bit, but in a fresh fig, you see there's an opening on the bottom, not the pointy part, on the bottom part, there's an opening, and the opening is there in order to become pollinated. Okay, now, to our surprise, or to my surprise, okay, fig trees, there are male fig trees and female fig trees, okay? Okay, to our surprise. Okay, I believe you, but in figs, there are male and female trees. The male fig trees are called Capri figs, okay? And those are not sold. You'll hear why in a second. Okay, those are not sold for eating, to my knowledge. They're not sold for eating, okay? And the female trees came from a place in Turkey called Smyrna. And when they were brought to California, they made a contraction of the word California and Smyrna to make Calamirna. Okay, so the reason why they're called Calamirna figs is because they're the California version of the Smyrna tree. Okay, in fact, they were very surprised. They couldn't figure out why they weren't getting figs for the first long while when they had only the male trees. Okay, so only when they got the Smyrna trees, all of a sudden, ta-ta, they had figs. Okay, and in order for the figs for these trees to grow properly, they need to be pollinated by a certain wasp. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name. Lastafagopacinus. Okay, so, and that's called the Calamirna fig wasp. That's what it's called because that's what pollinates. Okay, now listen, what happens? This fig, it means to transfer the pollen from the male part of the plant to the female part of the plant to make it grow better. So in a regular flower, that's what happens. There's the male part of a flower and a female, and it takes the bugs are taking pollen from one to the other. Okay, they're not taking it on purpose. They're taking it. They don't realize what they're doing, but they're transporting it back and forth. Much better that they go back and forth.
They call it turkey. They're not called Calamirna. Those wasps in Turkey. Yeah, they
what? I don't know what they call them in Turkey. Okay, so now what happens like this?
Volcano.
What happens like
Turkey?
Because volcano. They're from Turkey.
They come. Right. Okay, now the wasp is not born. The wasp is born in the Capri fig. Okay. The Capri figs. If you want, I'll show you the videos of it. The Capri figs are crawling with bugs. Okay. That's why they don't sell them. Because they're full of wasps. Okay, nobody would eat them. Because they're crawling with... I'll show you the video. It's not to believe what's going on in these things. They're crawling with bugs. What happens is, they come out. And if you would leave them to do as they want to, they will lay their eggs in the next Capri fig. Okay, that's where they're supposed to lay. That's sort of where they feel comfortable.
These are female wasps.
These are... I don't know if they're male or female. Yeah, they're female wasps. Yeah, the females of those wasps would lay their eggs in the next Capri fig. In the Capri fig. What the farmers do is like this. They capture those wasps coming out of the Capri fig. They bring them over to the Calamirna figs. To the Calamirna figs. And what happens is, so the fig, the wasp is not so intelligent. He sees a fig, he goes in and lays eggs. She goes in and lays her eggs inside the Calamirna figs. The way the Brunson built it was, the Calamirna figs grow at a different size, and the bug cannot lay its eggs. Okay, the structure of it, it's a little bit bigger than the Capri fig. It goes inside to try to lay its egg. It's hopeless. It can't do it. It can't fit. The parts of its body don't fit into the right places to lay its egg. So it tries and goes from fig to fig to fig, trying to lay its egg. Now, had it landed in a Capri fig, which it wants to be, it could lay its egg in a second. But in the Smyrna figs, in the Calamirna figs, it's going from fig to fig to fig, and it can't lay it. And, of course, the design for that is, of course, the merchant made it like that so that it'll spread the pollen. They picked the pollen back at home in the Capri fig, brought him over to here, and so sitting on his body is the pollen. When it comes to the Calamirna fig, it's trying to lay its eggs.
Okay, so why do you need the farmer to move it over?
They wouldn't come here, because naturally they would just lay their eggs in the next Capri fig.
They made it that way. But
so I don't know how the merchant, that part of the plan I don't know. Maybe in Turkey it doesn't work like that. But the farmers bring the figs over to here, they bring the figs to the Calamirna, they try and try and try, so this bug goes from fig to fig to fig, pollinating the tree. Eventually, it either plotzes, okay, it just gives up. In some of the places, the hole is very small, so it could lose a wing, and then that's the end of it. It can't go anyplace.
How come the wasps hasn't been extinct if they have no place to lay their eggs?
They don't take them all. They take them all.
That's how they do the farm.
If they take every one of them, they would have no figs next year.
That's okay.
So they don't take all of them. But
to be logical.
How does the wasps do with the farms?
That doesn't mean that they don't catch every single.
Bees don't live those.
Yeah, they don't catch every single one of them. There are therefore people who are concerned that if you eat figs, that we eat the calamari figs, the female figs, okay, that there are wasps inside of them. And the reason would be is because there are definitely wasps in those farms, because in order for the tree to grow well, you need a wasp to go around in there. So they bring the wasp.
You're trying to have pieces of it.
What?
Nothing else than that.
Well, you would, if it plots in here, if it plots in your fig, they're very big. You'll see them in the video. They're nice.
You can't miss them.
So the potential is that there would be, there's this question, the theory, that they would potentially be in there and they could die there, okay? In fact, I forgot to tell you, it's the pollination of these trees is called caprification, okay? Because it takes wasps from the capri fig to over here, so it's called caprification. Capri is the melon.
We eat the field?
Right, you can't eat the melon. You could eat it, but it's full of bugs. I mean, it's crawling with bugs. Okay,
so live bugs?
Well, by the time it gets to the store, it wouldn't be live bugs, but on the tree.
It's a sack of bugs,
It lays their eggs in there. It lays its eggs, so 20 eggs come out. Yeah, like you said, it's a hive. That's the home. That's right. Okay. Now, there are those who say that's the theory, that if the wasp dies inside of the calamari fig, which happens on occasion, figs have an enzyme in them. Actually, an enzyme that we use nowadays is called, I don't know how to pronounce it, FICIN. Okay, ficin. Okay. And There's an enzyme in there. Of actually a very valuable enzyme inside a fig, okay? And there are those who say that if a wasp would die inside of the fig, the enzyme would
disintegrate.
Good word. Would disintegrate. Okay, there wouldn't be anything left. Okay, and therefore the chances of you actually finding one in your actual things that you eat are very small because you get disintegrated.
Like artichokes.
Okay.
Because right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So let's think about now where there could be a bug in a fig. Okay, so the first thing is that there could be a bug in the fig. It's open to the outside. Okay, it's open to the outside, and this opening is different than other fruit. That's why we're talking about it, because it's different than other fruit. The first is, the wasp might have gotten stuck inside. Okay, if the wasp is in there, it's usher. Okay, the wasp is usher for three easy reasons why the wasp is usher.
When did the wasp go in? When it was still connected, correct? It was over.
Yes. Okay, so first is, it was not born on this fig. Okay, the wasp came over from the male fig. Okay, the wasp came over from, so it's not, it came on Vimulcorbor and it flew around. The wasp would move around within the fig. We saw way back when that if it moves around within the fruit, Vimulcorbor, it's also, here there's plenty of room to move around.
I thought it was
not pleasure, no. And we're not going to be suffering. Okay. And the last is that it's a flying bug. This is not a land bug, this is a flying bug, it has wings on it. So it's usher, whichever way you're going to slice it, that bug would be usher. But of course, the other side is that there are those who say that if it would be in there, it would get disintegrated. And like Yankee said, they're big. They're not big, I mean, relatively big. And you would see them, you would see them if they were in there.
Okay?
Now, there's no chash that there are baby wasps inside of a fig that we buy. Because as I told you, the wasps cannot lay their eggs in the calamari figs. That's the whole logic over here is, the whole design is, you can't lay eggs in, he can't lay eggs in the figs that we eat. It's not possible to lay eggs in there. So there can't be baby eggs. There can't be baby wasps in there. There can't be adult, there could be adults, maybe. Babies, if for sure, can't be, because they can't physically lay their eggs in there. That's the whole chachma here, that they can't lay their eggs in there. But of course, it's open season to other things. The hole is open. The only thing that crawls in, not only wasps that can crawl in, anything can crawl in. It's an open hole. Okay, there's open to the outside. You can see, unfortunately, it's...
Does that affect the other birds as well?
Potentially. So, okay, and there's now within the cautious people, there's a difference of opinion as to whether there really are bugs in it. Okay, some people think that there are, and you should check them, and other people think there's absolutely nothing in there.
Why don't you give it to professionals?
Can I go to California?
And so I'm just going to end off this part of it. I have no idea whether there are or there aren't. Okay, when I spoke to people, other people that were, they thought about it. I heard completely different stories from everybody and their mother-in-law as to whether there are or there aren't. Okay, but the bug that we're thinking about, lechayra, we're not thinking about the adult wasp. Well, probably not. We're for sure not talking about baby wasp. The only possibility is they may have something else. They're just, what?
The teenager.
The teenager. No, not the teenager. Maybe something else crawled in. It's an open hole.
They can't,
as I said, they can't be babies. And they can't, maybe an adult would have flown in and got stuck in it, maybe as a baby.
Maybe not.
And maybe something from the outside came in, and that's, again, a machlokes between the people over there. So we need good information. Thank you.